That's right. Good afternoon, and welcome to the TNT News Hour. Right here on BBSRadio.com. Mainstream doesn't like to play the music too long. We're going to let it roll for a second here. Give you a chance to grab some paper and a pen or a pencil. You might want to take some notes. This is your host, Don Nikoloff. Welcome to the TNT News Hour here on BBSRadio.com. February 13th, 2008. Got some interesting news to share. Those of you who listen to my nightly broadcast Monday through Friday on BBSRadio.com, the show called Evident Footprints, have heard quite a bit about what's going on with the voting scandal. Pretty much every venue around the country. I guess that would even include the places that haven't even had elections yet. I'd like to start off with some news about gas prices. Now, I've been reporting that there is an alert based upon the goings-on of the Leo Wanta settlement, or I should say now he's going by Ambassador Lee Wanta and his Ameritrust Group, Inc., that settled back in December of 2005 and were supposed to receive payment by June of 2006 of $4.5 trillion. $1.575 trillion of which was to go into the U.S. Treasury on the books. Money that would earn $200 billion a day in interest alone. And the money has been hijacked by the president, the vice president, the director of Homeland Security, with the assistance of Congress, the House of Representatives, the Senate, and the central banks in New York City. And those banks are Citibank and Wachovia, Bank of America, and some 200 to 400 banks around the world that are participating in this. Now, there have been some reports of arrests taking place all around the world of key mafia figures in Italy and pretty much around the world. This is by order of the G10, which is the group of nations, I should say the G9, because the United States is not involved in this. We are facing the potential of a massive oil embargo, international flights being canceled to these foreign countries, and we're speaking about countries such as Russia, China, France, the Netherlands, Great Britain, Holland, Italy, Mexico, although, you know, with the American Union taking place, I think Mexico may not be a problem. But these countries and some 150 other countries are waiting for reimbursement from Ambassador Wanta's group once this money is paid out. And it's not been paid out. It's been hijacked. And they have finally brought down the sledgehammer on our government. Indictments have been issued, we understand, according to the reports of author, journalist, financial reporter Christopher Story in London. He has been keeping tabs on what's going on internationally, and they're covering this up in the mainstream media. Now, it has an immense impact on oil prices. We had the cutting, the so-called accidental cutting of cables, underwater cables that connect the internet to countries such as Iran, Saudi Arabia, Egypt, the United Arab Emirates, Dubai, And Lord knows what other countries. It started out that two of these fiber optic cables were cut. The excuse given was that a dragged anchor from a ship probably caused the damage and the destruction of these cables. And yet, now it's come to light that eight or nine of them, as far away as India, have been cut. This is obviously a precursor to some sort of scary attack or some sinister plan that these people have to keep these countries out of touch with the rest of the world. I wonder what Al Gore has to say about his invention. Nevertheless, I'd like to start out by, and that's sort of an encapsulation leading to this next story here. This is information which has been gleaned the writings and the speeches of Lindsay Williams. Now, Lindsay Williams is a minister, and he became a minister in the Prudhoe Bay area of Alaska quite some time ago, back in the 1970s, in fact. And he was the chaplain, we'll say, for the oil company employees who had a very, very negative record of work ethic, missing work because of health reasons. And Lindsay was able to minister to these folks, and their performance started improving. And upon this improvement, the oil magnates, the companies that were running the drilling exercises that were taking place in Alaska, decided this man is someone that we've got to bring into the fold. And so they made him a board member. And he sat in on all these meetings that the oil company executives were having. And he learned that they were going to start increasing the price of oil, and that by the year 2008 it would reach $5 per gallon for gasoline. We're talking about regular gasoline. Now, back then, we didn't have unleaded gas, although it didn't take many years after the oil embargo in 1973, and many of you who are old enough remember the gas lines. That was back when Nixon was president. I certainly remember that the price had jumped up drastically, some 50 cents a gallon overnight, and that the lines went on for miles sometimes, people waiting to get into the gas stations. Of course, this was false. This was just a psyops type of operation by the oil companies, and the government did nothing to stop this. In fact, these politicians get contributions from the oil companies for playing ball. So the price of oil around that time started rising drastically, and it's never really come back to its pre-1973 levels. I can remember as a child when oil was 19 cents a gallon, or I should say gasoline was 19 cents a gallon. And the price of a barrel of oil was probably somewhere between $5 and $8. 1973 and up until around 1985, the price of oil per barrel rose and maintained a level beyond what we actually were producing oil for at that time. You could say safely that oil was produced at a rate of $12 a barrel here in the United States. Lindsay Williams says, even today in Saudi Arabia, a barrel of oil costs 50 cents to produce. Now, you'll hear some figures that are going to jibe with that statement. He made this several years ago, and it still holds true today. But they tell us that $18 a barrel back in 1985 and 86 was too much money for us to keep producing oil, that we would be better off buying oil from foreign countries, such as the Saudis. So, what do they do? Well, they got the Saudis to put their money into the central banks in the United States in the form of 30-year notes that are maturing about now. And what they've done is stolen the money, basically, from these notes. And, of course, the Saudis are figuring this out. We went over there to Saudi Arabia and built the refineries. We went there and extracted the oil, taught them how to do it, and they were able to maintain a very low expense rate per barrel and still maintain that today. Yet, as the oil goes around the world, as it's refined and produced into gasoline in the various countries that are eventually selling it, distributing and selling it, we find that the prices are just outrageous. And I'm going to read some prices. You may be doing some traveling, or you may want to do some comparisons. And of course, by no means am I saying that any of these prices are fair, or that we should compare them to American prices. Just try to understand the game that's going on here. Now, these are prices in U.S. dollars per gallon for regular unleaded gasoline. Oslo, Norway is $6.82 a gallon. Hong Kong, $6.25 a gallon. Brussels, Belgium, $6.16 a gallon. London, England, $5.96 a gallon. Rome, Italy, $5.80 a gallon. Tokyo, Japan, $5.25 a gallon. Sao Paulo, Brazil, $4.42 a gallon. New Delhi, India, $3.71 a gallon. Sydney, Australia, $3.42 a gallon. Now, out of all those, well, there's three more other countries that I'd like to read that are in the same range. Johannesburg, South Africa, $3.39 a gallon. And that's cheaper than Los Angeles is right now. Mexico City, $2.22 a gallon. Buenos Aires, Argentina, $2.09 a gallon. Now, in comparison to Saudi Arabia, and keep in mind what I mentioned about the cost of producing oil per barrel, 50 cents a barrel in Saudi Arabia. In Riyadh, Saudi Arabia, the price of a gallon of gasoline is 91 cents, not even a dollar. Kuwait, 78 cents. And in Caracas, Venezuela, they get the $64,000 prize, 12 cents a gallon. 12 cents a gallon. Now, how is it that Hugo Chavez can offer his people gasoline, unleaded gasoline, 1 gallon at 12 cents? How is it that that's possible? It shows you the amount of money that the oil cartel is making worldwide. Now, Saudi Arabia is touted as being the biggest oil field in the world by the media. We buy much of our oil from Saudi Arabia and much of our oil from Venezuela, at least until we started angering Chavez. Now, I don't know what the accurate figures are anymore. I doubt that you could even find that out from the stock market because everything is so corrupt these days. But let us just say that if these prices are true, and we have every reason to be acknowledging the research and the information that Lindsay Williams has at his disposal, we would have to say that the story about 50 cents a barrel of production cost incurred by the Saudis is probably very accurate. Even if it was $5 a barrel, it would be accurate. Now, what Lindsay says and what I'm inclined to believe is that the reserves that we have in the United States, particularly up there in the Prudhoe Bay region, And this is the pipeline that was shut down within a month after BP, British Petroleum, purchased those wells from Exxon. And they said that the pipeline rusted, and therefore they had to shut the pipeline down. Well, that was just an excuse to hoard the oil and to keep the oil from getting to the market so they could keep driving the price of oil up. And, of course, ultimately it affects most of us. Besides motor oil, we're affected by the gasoline prices. That's where they make their big bucks. It's just like a music store could sell a $10,000 piano to you, but if you buy electronic cables, microphone cables, and mic stands, they make their big profit in those items. There's a huge markup. And they're doing the same thing with gasoline. Lindsay says that the reserves that we have in Alaska are massive, far greater than the Saudi Arabian oil fields. And I've mentioned this on my Evident Footprint show and on some other shows that I've either hosted or guest appeared as a commentator or as a researcher or journalist. And I have discussed having been approached last year to invest in an oil field that's a recent discovery. It's called the Green River Field in Colorado that has some 2 trillion barrels of what they call shale oil. Now, to extract this oil, it's definitely a different procedure from normal extraction methods, but they say that the amount of oil Colorado find is 4 times the size of that in Saudi Arabia. Why are we not tapping into this oil, trolling it? I came to find out through my normal research, researching what some of these companies are doing, that pretty much around the time that the Bush administration took power, in the beginning of 2001, there was an effort, and this was under the vice president, under Dick Cheney's command, there were studies being done on how to acquire oil fields in Canada. And there were committees, and there were papers being written. You can go on the internet and actually find these. And I'm not going to reference them specifically other than to say, or just about taking control of everything, including not just oil, but the pharmaceutical companies and your vote. Now, the voting corruption is their way of making sure that they get the people in office that are going to maintain this status quo. These ridiculously high prices for products that they have really created a need for because of how they have forced us to travel long distances to work, travel long distances to shop for regular items that we need. And of course, some of that is our choice based upon where we choose to live. If you live out in the country and there are no stores out in the country, you may have to do some driving to get to a place where you can buy groceries or the commodities that you require to support your family. That's understandable. And that's a choice that you make. However, when they make it that oil costs more money in one part of the country than another. Recently, I traveled through Georgia and was very surprised. Although it's not a substantial amount of money, oil is always cheaper in the state of Georgia. Why is that? Does it cost less money to get the oil or the gasoline to, let's say, Georgia than it does South Carolina or Tennessee? Or Alabama, or Mississippi? It doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense that they are are controlling the market in such a way that, depending on where you live in the country, you are penalized for that. Pretty much anywhere in Venezuela, the gasoline is 12 cents a gallon. We see those markups sometimes within a matter of hours. I can drive past a local gas station in the morning and they have one price, and I drive past there an hour and a half later and the price has been jacked up 30 cents. And the next day it might come down 2 or 3 cents, and then it stays there for a week. And then a weekend comes, or the first weekday comes, and they change the price. It's a game. Now, a suggestion had been made some time ago that we stop purchasing oil from Mobil and Exxon, that those were two of the largest oil companies, and that if we stop purchasing gasoline from them, we would hurt their business. They would be forced to drive their price down. And that worked for a time, and then people forget about it. And because it's convenient for them to stop at one of those stations, they buy the gas. And so they're paying these ridiculous prices. We were able to affect the prices for a while, late summer and all through the fall, although they have these reasons for raising the price, that there's a holiday. There's a holiday and more people are going to be driving, so therefore we can make more money by raising the price. And maybe that's their sound way of doing business, but it's the way that they hoodwink us. It's the way that we're being conditioned to accept these exorbitant prices. 2 years ago, gasoline was about $1.35 a gallon, and that's high. That's substantially higher than what the prices are in Venezuela today. Now, we have oil in this country. We've got oil everywhere, and if we're going to have a society based upon that type of energy, then it should be a fair price. What they're doing is they're suppressing all forms of advanced technologies, free energy, or electromagnetic energy, or advancements in electrical energy that far outweigh any advantages or disadvantages to using oil. They're non-polluting types of energy. They're in some cases, self-replicating types of energy, working much on the principle of a generator that increases output. And there are some devices that do that. You'll have scientists tell you that you can't extract more energy than is going into something, but that's not necessarily the case. It depends upon the scientific principle that's at work. What they don't want you to know is that there are alternatives. When they made the hybrid cars, they made the hybrid cars so that they wouldn't run for a long time on electricity, except for the Tesla Motors engine, which is basically going to solve that problem. So what do they do when someone comes out with an invention that takes money out of the hands of the oil company? They suppress the invention, they kill it, or they'll kill the inventor or the people doing the manufacturing. That's how sinister these people are. So I thought that you might like to hear what the oil prices are like around the world. Of course, the media is not going to tell us about this. And I'm hoping, in fact, now I'm working on getting Pastor Lindsey Williams onto my Evident Footprint show, possibly next week. And so I will encourage you to listen to the show and be looking for just a wealth of information that he's going to bring to the table. I've looked at several DVDs. I've listened to his speeches and seen his presentations. The man knows firsthand what he's talking about. He's been inside these oil companies, sat at the board meetings, heard their plans, and really has been shocked and dismayed by some of what he's heard. And so he's felt that he has a responsibility to the people across this planet to inform us of their plans, and that we can thwart this, we can overcome this. The first thing to do would be to stop buying Mobil and Exxon products. And if you can do that, you will affect a change in oil prices, because those two companies basically dictate what the rest of the oil companies are going to charge. And it is one way where we are being extorted. Now, some interesting news, and I invite you, those of you who have a piece of paper and a pen, I'm going to invite you to go to a website. And I'm going to give the web address. I'll read it off twice here. The web address is http://littlegreenfootballs, just like it sounds, littlegreenfootballs.com/web/?=28915&RSS. I'll read that to you one more time. http://littlegreenfootballs.com/weblog/?question mark entry=28915&RSS. Now, what you are going to see at that website is to kind of blow your mind. It seems Fox News team went in to the headquarters, the campaign headquarters in Houston, Texas, of Barack Obama. Now, some of us have seen a picture published on the internet showing Barack Obama, Bill Richardson, Hillary Clinton, and one other person that I can't identify from this small photo, standing in front of a very large American flag. The very large American flag, in front of it has some chairs sitting on a dais, if you want to call it that, which is the stage. It's an outdoor setting, so they've gone through some effort to hang this flag, and it looks like the flag is just hanging in the air, so it's obviously suspended by wire. Now, what you are going to see in this picture are three of the people with their hand on their heart while the national anthem is being played, and Barack Obama is standing there with his hands folded, basically just hanging down in front of his crotch, we'll say. That's what the picture has. In addition, at the website that I gave you, and there is also some more websites I could give out, but I just want to discuss the content of these pictures at the campaign headquarters in Houston. What you see is a flag of Che Guevara, who is known as a communist mass murderer, and it has his picture on a Cuban flag. This is hanging directly behind the desk of the campaign worker. In another shot, there is another desk, also there at the same location, but possibly in another room, in another office, definitely at a different wall. There's the American flag, and then there's a peace flag. And to the left of the American flag is this same Che Guevara flag. And I just ask myself, what would compel someone to put a flag with the picture of a communist mass murderer on it. Is this the character of the person who is running for president of the United States? Now, it may be that he's unaware that these flags are hanging there, but nevertheless, Fox went in and did a story and showed it on TV. And the pictures are, they're on the internet. You can see these for yourself. In the lower left-hand corner of the picture, there's a logo that says, My Fox Houston. And so these JPEGs, there's also another website URL that I can give out, okay? And we know how they all begin with the HTTP, so let's go into this. littlegreenfootballs.com/weblog/pictures/2008-0211 Obama, that's OBAMA, CHE, Houston, everybody knows how to spell Houston, .jpg. That will take you to the picture itself, the first one that I mentioned. If you get anywhere near that site, you're going to be able to come up with all of these pictures. But it just shows you the character of these people. Now, some new news is coming out about the affiliation that John McCain has with George Soros, and that the Candidates Reform Institute, it also accepted funds from Teresa Carey. Now, there is a Kennedy-McCain immigration bill that's on the table right now, and they are pushing to just give all these illegal aliens full rein. One reason I have suggested is that there's massive evidence coming out that most of these people that we're talking about in the news these days aren't even Americans. Either they themselves or their parents or their grandparents entered the country illegally. Some were born in other countries. For example, McCain has been born in Panama. He was born in Panama at the Coco Solo military base in Panama. Now, because his father was in the military, doesn't matter. He was not born in the United States. And the Constitution forbids anyone not born in the United States to run for president. Yet that precedent was broken also by George H.W. Bush, who has been disclosed by former Hitler bodyguard Otto Skorzeny and Eric Berman, the writer who came out with some pictures Skorzeny gave him back in 1999 in South Florida, as well as in my article about the Bush-Scherf connection. The direct connection to George H.W. Bush and his family and their true identities and their relationship to Adolf Hitler. For some people, this is mind-blowing. You're not going to hear this on the mainstream news, but I urge my listeners to go to directlightproductions.com. directlightproductions.com. Click on the Articles button at the top of the page, and you can read about this in great detail. These are the reasons why they're pushing for illegal aliens to be in our country. When they legalize it, then we can't challenge the fact that these people who are running for office aren't even Americans. If you're not born in this country, you are not eligible to run. You do not qualify to run for president of the United States. Period. And that includes Arnold Schwarzenegger. I've got nothing against Arnold, the governor of California. I'm not trying to do an Arnold impression here, so don't compare the news to my impressions. But it should ring in the back of your mind, that should sound an alarm or set off a bell or something, that there's something wrong here. We've got these people like Henry Kissinger speaking with a German accent when he talks to the public. I heard that his accent's actually phony. But no one ever seemed to question where this guy came from. It just appears all of a sudden we've got a guy with a German accent. We've got some other congressman, one that comes to mind. I don't understand how these people can't shake their accent. I'm speaking of Tom Lantos of California. I hear them speak on C-SPAN, and these accents are thick. I mean, you lose your accent over a period of time unless you're spending all your time speaking in the foreign language. What are they, spies? Are they plants into our government? We don't seem to make the connection and ask these questions. You've got Barney Frank and his dalliances with the Page Boys. We seem to condone all this homosexual activity that's going on. By the way, there's still investigations going on over the missing children around the world. DVDs and reports have been coming out ad nauseum, mostly on the internet, about the recent sex slave revelations from Kathy O'Brien, Arizona Wilder, Cisco Wheeler, and Bryce Taylor. And they all recount the same stories, that these same people are involved in the child abductions. 100,000 children are abducted annually. And they describe horrific stories about them being sacrificed, about them being injected into these private parties for congressmen, so that they can blackmail them, number one, because if they participate in these sadistic acts, then they have control over them for fear of being exposed. It's quite simple how they do it. They get it on film, they get it on videotape. Yet if any of us talk about this or any of us make the accusation that this is going on, oh, we're conspiracy theorists, we're kooks, we're nuts. And it's the same label that they give anyone that follows Congressman Ron Paul's campaign. We're all nuts. Congressman Paul is nuts, they say. And they try to mock him and belittle him and smirk at him in these debates. They fudge the votes. I can't believe that he's only getting 3% of the votes in major states that support him. You can drive through communities and not see one sign for any of these other candidates. You can go through a whole community seeing nothing but Ron Paul signs, yet when the votes come out, Ron Paul's got 1%, 2%, 3% of the vote. Tell me that the Diebold voting machines aren't fixed when they destroy the records after the election, or they fudge the safekeeping of the ballots using removable seals on the boxes, leaving so-called secured rooms unlocked, unattended for hours, people having sets of keys that they can get into these so-called safekeeping vaults in the middle of the night. And this has been captured on videotape. These are not wild accusations. How much longer are we going to stand for this corruption? Now, everybody's busy doing their job. They're busy taking care of their families. They have a life, and they really don't want to get involved in a lot of this stuff. So I can't blame the average American family. I cannot blame the average person that really doesn't have time or is really not interested in this. But those of you who do have an interest in what's happening in your country, know who you're voting for, know something about them. Little known story, Peter Paul, a media mogul who gave $1.2 million to Hillary Clinton's senatorial election campaign in the year 2000, is suing her for a substantial amount of money. And I believe probably Bill Clinton, too, because of actions. You know, he took the money and then broke a contract, a contractual agreement with Peter Paul's media company. And it caused Paul to lose a substantial amount of money. And the significance of this $1.2 million is it went into Hillary Clinton's campaign and she didn't report it. A federal judge in California swept this criminal case under the rug and threw it out of court, making a ruling because she didn't remember. Now, how many times did we hear Bill Clinton say he didn't recall, he didn't remember in his Paula Jones deposition? You could play a two and a half minute audio tape if you took every time he said, I don't remember, I don't recall, my memory fails me. Whatever terminology he used, he said, I don't remember as many ways as any of us have ever said it in our lives, and then some. He invented new ways to say, I don't remember, I don't recall. 2.5 minutes the audio runs of his deposition. If you just take the little snippets of every denial that he remembered, or didn't remember, and put them back to back, it runs 2.5 minutes. And Hillary Clinton used that same defense in her deposition. She said, well, the president didn't mention to me that he had been approached by Mr. Peter Paul, and he didn't mention anything about a $1.2 million contract agreement for the president to become his PR man for his media company once he left office. And since I don't remember the president ever telling me that, the president probably didn't tell me that. And since he didn't tell me that, there's no way I would know of it. So I'd have to say that it probably didn't happen. These are the sort of lies that these people use. That's the method she used. And of course, the judge said, well, there's reasonable doubt here. And since there's reasonable doubt, we're not taking this case to trial. It's in violation of FEC laws. In fact, the Federal Election Commission well knows that Peter Paul has this on videotape. He has her admissions and her foreknowledge and her participation in discussions about this money on videotape. And yet she's running for president of the United States, and the media isn't reporting elect. But we report that here on BBSRadio.com on the TNT NewsHour. And that's why you're listening to this show, because you're going to hear some things that you won't hear in other places. Now, there's a lot of information coming out about John McCain, who is all of a sudden the miraculous Wonder Boy of the GOP campaign. And you've got people like Rudy Giuliani throwing all his support to McCain, the warmonger. And I encourage you to go to Veterans Against, or it's actually Vietnam Veterans Against John McCain.com. It's a great website that's got all kinds of documentation about John McCain's military career. And there's quite a bit of information coming out about that McCain wasn't the war hero that he's professed to be, that he received special favors and special dispensations by the Vietnamese, and was even seen cavorting with them in restaurants, getting out of limousines, He was given an apartment. He's given prostitutes. Of course, he describes the situation quite a bit differently. You can go to a website. I'm going to give this out to you. It's www.VietnamVeteransAgainstJohnMcCain.com. Again, VietnamVeteransAgainstJohnMcCain.com. There's a wealth of information if you want to find out about John McCain. Now, what's interesting is there is a page within the website that will take you to a U.S. News and World Report article that was published in May 14th, 1973, issue of U.S. News and World Report. And the descriptions that he gives are challenged by many of the veterans who were there, either the prisoners who were there at what they called the Hanoi Hilton, and they will tell you about at least 38 broadcasts that McCain did over Vietnamese radio. They claim that he was a traitor, that his actions were treasonous, that he betrayed the duties of a soldier in a foreign combat, particularly even those required of prisoners of war. You know, the movies tell you name, rank, and serial number. Well, he gave them quite a bit more than that. There's a story about his graduation, which is noteworthy. And I haven't heard the audio, but I'm told that there is a speech that he gave where he says that he was in a graduating class of some 400 cadets at the Annapolis Naval Academy. The fact is, he finished number 894 out of 899 cadets. He was at the bottom of the list. He's a war hero pilot, according to him and those that are putting out these stories, yet they fail to mention that he, including when he was shot down, he lost 5 aircraft, 4 prior to going to war, some in training missions. But that's a war hero. Now, it's also reported that his father and his grandfather were the first two father-son teams to become 4-star admirals. What they fail to mention is that his grandfather was posthumously awarded the 4th star. It's reported in the biographies that he was born or died in Washington, D.C. We'll get into his birth on another show. Died in Washington, D.C., yet new research shows that he died on an airplane while returning to the United States from Europe. It's a big difference. It eliminates Washington, D.C. from the mix. What we need to ask is, why are all these stories being twisted? Is it because we need a war hero for a president? Well, electing someone who has been in a war, someone who has profited from the military industrial complex, assures the powers that be that they will be able to maintain the mindset and the posture of a warmongering nation. And that's got to change. We have an obligation to consider when voting for someone, are we voting for someone who is very much pro-murder of people in foreign countries, robbing their banks? Most wars are the pretext for robbing a bank and stealing the gold and other assets that these countries have. It's what we did in Iraq. It's what we did in Afghanistan. Not to mention that being in Afghanistan affords us a foothold in the drug business, the primary activity of the CIA, and one that finances the Pentagon and all this war. So putting McCain in office is going to guarantee that that future is going to occur. Now, what would be the problem of Hillary Clinton as president? Well, she's involved in the embezzlement of these trillions of dollars. And her ex-president husband is involved in it. And we know she's corrupt based on this Peter Paul campaign contribution of $1.2 million. That should be enough right there to raise a question or two in your mind. Oh, but it's time for us to elect a woman. Or it's time to elect a black man, even if the black man wasn't born in the United States. This election is the epitome of the consummate insanity of our nation. And it's about time we wake up. And unfortunately, if I haven't put you to sleep, it's time that I exit out of here. The time is up. You've been listening to the TNT News Hour on BBSRadio.com. I'm the host, Wednesdays, Don Nikoloff. Join me on my Evident Footprints show tonight on BBS Radio, 10 p.m. Pacific Time, 1 a.m. Eastern. I have a surprise guest on tonight who you are going to want to hear. Some important information coming out. So I hope to see you there. Special thanks to my executive producer and the executive producer of everything that goes on at bbsradio.com, Donald Newsom. Have a good afternoon. Peace, love, and light. And we'll see you tonight and next week. Bye.